The birth of a baby is always important. There is a birth recorded in the Bible book of Ruth that is especially noteworthy in Bible history. Using the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, Brother David Johnson, our speaker, will tell us about this important event. This is the Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support this broadcast with prayers and contributions. We now worship our Lord with song.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into His presence, we bring an offering of song.
Glory and honor and dominion.
Glory and honor and dominion.
To the Lamb, unto the King.
Father, thank you for the precious promises that are fulfilled in Jesus. Bible prophecy tells us about Jesus, and each part of your word that is about him is certain and for sure. We pray that you will bless each of our listeners with health, peace, and included in that, the trust in Jesus. Please use the words of this program for your glory and bless our other efforts that are serving you throughout the world. Bless all believers who are serving you. We know that the Bible shows us that Jesus is going to appear to take believers with him. Please help us to be ready for that promised event. And thank you for listening to us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Based upon Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, Brother David Johnson will now present, She Gave Birth to a Son.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts as we endeavor to share the Word of God, be able to apply it to our lives, and witness it to others. The lesson is entitled, She Gave Birth to a Son. And our primary text is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Please listen to the word of God. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of God. Family genealogy records are researched and prized by many Americans and people around the world. However, according to a Nigerian in Africa, Nigeria, a Nigerian Christian scholar, family genealogies are considered far, far more important and appreciated in African culture than they are in American culture. This scholar stated that when Nigerian Christians read the Bible, they never skip the genealogy information. To them, family lineage is of most importance. Nigerians call it their root. He went on to state that when he was a young man, a person might get a job or be refused a job based on his ancestry. At one point in his career, he was offered a competitive-based teaching position that he desired. Whoever got first in a series of Bible exams got the position. He came in at first place. However, the post was refused him because his father had been a well-known Muslim. Therefore, he lost out because of his root. He also stated that at African weddings, it is common, as part of the ceremony, to include the genealogies of both groom and bride, which are recited as far back as is known. The biblical story of Ruth concludes, climaxes with a written recitation of the root of David. In Ruth, in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. This text reveals, quote, This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. We'll return to the vital importance of these genealogical revelations later. First, let's look closer at our text in Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. To better understand it, including its implications and applications to us today. Even though this is the end of the story of Ruth, Boaz and Naomi as main characters, most if not all of us know the basic points of this narrative. So we'll focus on some points we probably do not know. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Boaz, some scholars believe, his name in Hebrew may mean, in him is strength. Certainly Boaz was an Israelite with strength of godly character. Boaz was also a man of means who owned a field which was sown in barley. Boaz was a relative of Naomi on her deceased husband's side, according to Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1. Boaz initially was kind and protective of Ruth because she had been faithful to his relative Naomi. Boaz was probably a widower or single and older than Ruth, however sensitive to and attracted to her. Boaz not only was a farmland owner, but also a successful and shrewd businessman. The name Ruth. This name probably coming from Moabite, her nationality, and or the Hebrew meaning, which is friendship. Only two books in the Bible receive their titles or names from women, the book of Ruth and the book of Esther. The writer of this book, according to Jewish tradition, credits Samuel as the likely author. Only one book in the Bible, possibly two, that is Luke, were named after Gentiles. Certainly Ruth, a native of Moab, a small pagan nation about 50 miles southeast of Bethlehem in Judah. Surely Ruth committed herself to the one true God of Israel when she stated to her mother-in-law, the Jewess Naomi, quote, "Your people will be my people, and your God my God." That's Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. Ruth was a childless widow. Ruth was extremely loving and caring toward her mother-in-law. By the grace of God, Ruth went from being a widowed migrant field worker to a wife and mother of a son. A true story of a believer who had great tragedy and a dim future, yet God blessed her abundantly as she trusted him. The same exact God can do likewise today. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 14. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel." These were the women of Bethlehem, where they all lived, Ruth chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Naomi, who lost her husband and two sons, went from absolute disaster to becoming a greatly delighted grandmother. Naomi from Hebrew means pleasant or gentle, and is still a popular name for Jewish girls today, Naomi. It is not Boaz who became Naomi's kinsman redeemer. Boaz was kinsman redeemer for Ruth. This term in the Old Testament had to do with family responsibilities. To make restitution, carry out justice, protect family-owned land, and probably to continue the family line. Naomi's grandson, Obed, was to be her kinsman redeemer, who was to care for Naomi in her latter years until death. These Bethlehem women offered praise, prayer, and encouragement. Such should be the case for one another always, to offer praise, prayer, and encouragement. Their prayer was that this grandson would become famous. For Israelites, this would become true, although for reasons far greater than any of them would live to see. Ironically, this grandson was biologically unrelated to Naomi, yet he became a wonderful fulfillment for her latter years and was tied to her heart with cords of love, bound more tightly than blood. These supportive women of Bethlehem went on to make more comforting predictions. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 15. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Naomi, in about a year's time, went from dark uncertainty and insecurity to becoming a light-hearted grandmother, secure and overjoyed. God can reverse lives that are in the dumps to heights we cannot even imagine possible. Ruth offered unconditional love toward her mother-in-law. Naomi was reminded never to take this treasure of a daughter for granted. The way Ruth cared for Naomi was regarded as a net gain of five sons after having lost two sons. The number seven to Israelites represented the number of perfection. Therefore, seven sons would equal the complete family. Yet this Ruth, they claimed, exceeded this standard all by herself. The narrative next paints a loving picture. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 16. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, literally bosom in the original Hebrew, and cared for him. That's not to exclude Ruth the mother. But here the spotlight is on Grandma, Naomi. She had persevered through much hardship to earn this special moment, perhaps especially when she first took the child. It's a portrait of a godly grandmother with her God-given grandson. Such a sweet picture. Then the inspired writer writes something really curious. Note verse 17 carefully. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Did you catch it? Here, possibly, is the only place in the Old Testament, 39 books in the Christian Bible, whereby a child was named by someone other than the immediate family. The text literally states, they, referring to the women living there, American Standard Version 1901, they called his name Obed. The name Obed means servant. Plus, how is it that they referred to the newborn as Naomi has a son, rather than a grandson? Scholars state that the reason is Ruth vicariously, meaning in place of another or substituted for, bore the son that would restore the family name of Naomi's deceased son, Mahlon, who was Ruth's first husband, according to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 10. So what makes Obed famous to informed Christians? Obed was the grandfather of David, who was to become king of Israel and be established as the chosen royal dynasty lineage to the greatest King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself. In some of the darkest days of Israel, the period of the judges, God was continually engaged laying a foundation for mankind's redemption through a coming Messiah and Savior. God's redemptive plan, set before the foundation of the world, could never be thwarted, to which all of us, the saved, today can be eternally thankful and joyful. To some, the book of Ruth may be just a nice story about some women who were fortunate. Yet just as Naomi and Ruth were unaware of the larger purpose in their lives, so we will not know the full purpose and importance of our lives until we are able to look back from the perspective of eternity. We must make our choices with God's eternal priorities in mind. We must live in faithfulness to God, knowing that the significance of our lives will extend beyond our lifetimes to our descendants. As this genealogy of Boaz and Ruth illustrates, God is always moving the human history of especially His people in His sovereign direction. God is interweaving strands of our stories that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. She gave birth to a son, was monumental for the entire human race, including you and me. Ultimately, a virgin was to give birth to a son. And this son stated, "I am the root and the offspring of David." Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. Praise God for His marvelous sovereign grace. Certainly still active today, especially in the lives of all believers.
Yeah.
God's Word clearly reveals the human genealogy of Jesus. Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? If not, please study your Bible and also meet with a group of fundamental believers who can guide you and help you into salvation as it is taught in God's Word. You may have a free CD of this and next week's program by requesting broadcast 2337. That's 2337. Please write to us today while you're thinking about our program. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing the-